proof.
And that's enough talking. Let's go flying.
I really think we should start a wine club.
What an idea.
I think there's something to be said about the whole dog's breakfast thing. But
okay, we'll that makes perfect sense.
It's a whole product, you know, kind of opportunity.
My work here is done.
All right. After show, what did I want to talk about here? I just want to explain, I don't know if listeners care, but maybe some do, I know, because I hear from them. This was a long break. It wasn't indicative of, like, us fading or anything like that. As I alluded in the episode, this was just weird scheduling. I mean, I've been flat out, and then the few days that I'm available, you know, one of you is then busy, and it's just kind of like, it was a crazy month of June. I seem to recall we actually had a day earlier in the month when we thought maybe we could record, and then it just kind of all fell apart at the last minute. And so the last time we recorded was back in May. Yeah. That was the one that I was in California at Will's place. So it's been a long time, and we apologize, but it was totally just scheduling. And it looks like we've snuck this one in before the month ended. So anyways, I don't know what I wanted to talk about here. I was thinking this story, it's on the list. All right. If you scroll down. All right. To me, this is very much a doctor. It hurts when I do that. Well, don't do that kind of story. All right. Who is it? AvWeb posted this story about how to survive a tree landing. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, cause we see these every now and then, like an airplane comes down, forced landing and ends up hanging in high in a tree. And I haven't even read this article. Have you read it? Maybe I should look at it and see
it's
what it says.
It's only three paragraphs.
Oh, really? Oh, well, does it say don't do it too? Maybe that's the joke. Wait a minute. Where'd it go? Here it is right here. It's three paragraphs because it's a video.
Oh, that may well be too.
How do you survive tree landing? Fly is slow. Some of this stuff, it seems to me, some of this presumes that you know you're going into the trees, which sometimes I guess you probably do. But I get the feeling a lot of these times, these incidents, they thought they were going to make a field and just didn't make it. You can't prepare. I mean, you're not preparing for the trees because you're going to make the field. Let's see now.
Another one of life's disappointments.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well. Forcing him to land the airplane on a top 6-foot tree, although the wreck was remote. Yeah, okay. So this doesn't really go. I think the video is what has, to the extent there are tips. I think actually the story points to somebody else's video. Whose video is this? Fly 8 Ma. Hang on. This may make noise. Sorry.
Well, there's no video of the airplane actually crashing into the tree. It's all aftermath. I don't know where I heard this, but there's this, you know, if you're going to crash on a motorcycle, lay down the motorcycle and hop on top of it kind of idea.
Okay. Yeah, right.
All right, you're out of gas or you're the weather's caved in. You've got to make a precautionary landing. There's nothing around but trees. What do you do? And one of the answers is stall, spin the airplane into the trees.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Are they deranged?
Well,
I mean, I can see stalling into the trees, but not with the spin part.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, part of it is if you're going to stall into the trees, unless you do it really, really, really well, you're going to spin one way or the other. The other part of it is flying generally a very light airplane with little inertia, little mass, and you're talking about, you know, 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, something like that, coming to rest in the soft, gentle boughs of the tall pine trees, you know.
Okay, so, wait a minute, writing that one
yeah,
down.
Writing right, that yeah, writing that one down. It's all blowing snow as far as I'm concerned. But yes, sometimes, and there are stories of people doing this intentionally, of, you know, flying straight ahead under control and setting the airplane down in the tops of trees And once the airplane comes to rest, maybe opening a door and shinnying down a tree to the ground and walking to cell phone coverage or something.
Yeah.
Good luck with all that.
I know. It seems like there's a lot of variables in that.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Well, what about aviation? Doesn't have a lot of variables. I mean,
okay, but yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When I was hang gliding actively,
yeah, right.
Early
landed
in my hang gliding, I landed in a tree.
Yeah.
And I followed the advice that when I knew I wasn't going to make it down to where it was clear landing was to try to pick a spot between two trees and get the wing, one wing on each tree. Fly slow and install it so you came straight down on it. The last thing you wanted to do is come down with a nose low attitude, because at that point you might just go all the way through the trees to the ground. And that kind of sudden stop invariably hurts worse.
Mm-hmm.
In an airplane, I mean, I think Jack's onto something there. There's a lot of these happen to people who don't think or believe they're going to land in the trees. And that's the last thing that they realize just before it happens. But there are other instances where your engine's out, you're low over it. I can think of stretches of Missouri where losing an engine is automatically a tree landing. Because there's nothing down there but trees.
Right, right.
There's no roads. There's hillsides. There's little low, short mountains and trees. Which way are you going? Well, away from the trees. Oh, well, good luck with that. That means that you must be going to New Mexico, because you're not getting out of the trees in Missouri. But slow and gentle and try to stall it straight ahead and into the trees. Stall spin. I don't want the nose down and being in a spin. You could go through all the trees. Go straight to the ground that way. Sudden stops invariably hurt worse.
Yes.
So make it soft.
Okay. Yeah. What else is going on here?
Or don't do it at all.
I really can't wait to get to Oshkosh and pull Craig Barnett aside. And ask.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And ask,
okay.
Ask him. His,
all right. You couldn't resist. You had to bring this up. Okay. Which airplane? Which paint job is it?
Oh, it's. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Air Force One.
Air Force One. All right. Be careful here. Don't get me in trouble.
I'm not going to get you in trouble.
Yeah. Right.
But it's curious that a proposed revision of the Air Force One paint scheme, which.
Yeah.
Not coincidentally, it's been replicated, you know, across that fleet. Looks surprisingly like a certain New York real estate tycoon's private 757.
Right.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked by this also. And not coincidentally, also like, you know, U.S. Airways and British Airways paint schemes. Okay, you know, that's on record.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah.
I think Air Force One's paint job looks perfectly wonderful the way it's been for years.
I agree. There's no reason to change it.
And but we all understand what's really going on.
We
there,
all
so.
Do. I understand what's
yeah.
going on.
I just have to use this platform, all right, to say that the Red Sox and the Yankees playing in London, which they're doing actually as we speak, is an abomination and bad for baseball. I just want to be on the record here. I want to use my little...
Why?
Because these kinds of stunt, and it's not even... I'm going to call it exhibition. It's not really an exhibition game because it counts. And that's that's a big part of my problem here. All right? It counts as a real game for, you know, determining the ultimate standings of the year. And admittedly... I'm, you know, my Red Sox are getting hurt by this, but other teams have gotten hurt. I complained about this back at the beginning of the season when two other teams played in, I forget, Japan or something like that, all right? The big problem I have with it is that because these are real games that count in the standings, and they declare that one of the two teams is the quote-unquote, I'm making finger quotes, home team, all right? This counts as two in this case, and I think it did in the spring too, two of that team's home games. All right. And home games are important because they're statistically you're more likely to win a home game. All right. And so getting to play all your home games is important because baseball's, even though it's a 162 game season, baseball it's not at all unusual for baseball standings to come down to the last game of the year. I mean, it's that close in the top three or four or five teams. And so giving away two home games to play in London, all right, where you're being, they're called your home games, but you're basically a visitor, all right, is unfair. It hurts baseball. It hurt baseball when I think it was Milwaukee or whoever it was in Japan in the spring, and it's hurting the race. You know, I mean, yesterday's, and anybody who pays attention to this stuff, yesterday, the first game yesterday in London was weird. Last time I looked, the Red Sox are winning this one, but not by much. It's an abomination. Shouldn't be doing it. Stop this. We need a balanced season in baseball. There we go.
Well, there's an easy solution. Okay. If they're playing two games, and this is at Wembley Stadium, I imagine there are some soccer aficionados, or football as they call it, over there that think it's an abomination that their soccer pitch gets turned into a baseball diamond. But
well, that's probably true, too.
That's neither here nor there. It just make one home team for one game, the other one the home team for the other game. It neutralizes that.
Yeah, that would be an improvement, I admit, all right? But it's still, then the other problem starts to be that they've been completely taken out of their normal system. It seems to me almost certain that yesterday's crazy game was a jet lag issue, all right? Traveling that far.
Oh, man, they got over there earlier than that.
They went a day early. They got one extra day. They had two off days, all right? And it's so... I don't like these stunt things. I think the game. So I'm a real baseball purist. All right. I think interleague play is a big mistake too. I think there should be a balanced season. Everybody should play all their opponents an equal number of times. And so,
what do you think of the designated hitter?
Oh, don't go there. I don't like the designated hitter. All right. I don't. What's the great speech? I ought to be able to do that speech. I should. I'm going to learn. I'm going to memorize the famous Kevin Costner speech from Bull Durham.
Oh, yes. Of course.
I don't like the designated hitter.
You couldn't say that on this podcast anyway.
And when I go, when you really, really prod me, all right, here's my really radical notion. I don't even like. I think the home run is an abomination. I think the home run is, anyways.
I'm sorry, what?
The home run is bad for baseball. There didn't used to be a home run in baseball. All right, back in the classic, legendary days of baseball, if you hit the ball out of the park, I mean, like in, you know, with foul ball was a foul ball, but if you hit the ball out of the outfield fence, it was an out. All right, because.
What?
Yeah, that goes way back. I'm talking like you know, the teens and the whatever early days.
What are these days when the Civil War veterans were playing?
Could be. The point is that there was an out because hitting the ball out of the park is just an aberration. So here's my here's my statistical analysis of this. All right, you ready? All right, since I was going to let it go, but you've got me going now. So the idea is if you hit a home run, you get four bases, all right? You get to go all the way around, and you force all the runners ahead of you around four bases, all right? So if you look at the statistics, if you look at the number of times a single, a double, a triple, and a home run happen in the game, the number of times these things happen, you know, statistically over the whole span of a season and all the teams, would tell you something about how hard difficult those different hits are, all right? So if you look at the stats for singles, there's a certain number of singles that happen throughout the season, all right? And it's a fairly big number. It's by clearly the most common kind of hit. Right. If you look at the number of doubles, there are fewer doubles than there are singles, and that makes sense because doubles are harder than singles. All right, it's harder to accomplish. And if you look at the number of triples, there are fewer triples than there are doubles because triples are harder to accomplish. But if you look at the number of home runs, there's not fewer home runs than triples. There's more home runs than triples. There's almost as many home runs as there are doubles. And this is, to me, a clear measure of the fact that home runs are not really that hard. They only exist in the game in order to make the game more exciting for the unsophisticated fan. Oh, that last statement's going to get me in trouble right there. Anyways.
So your solution would be to make the game even more boring.
It's not boring, David. Oh, see? Baseball is not boring if you like baseball, all right? All this talk about making the game faster and less boring and less is only relevant to people who don't really like the game in the first place. Why are we trying to make the game of baseball more interesting to people who don't like baseball, all right? It's like, stop it. I know why they're doing it. It's money. You're trying to get increase the TV rights and the ticket sales and whatnot. And I'm not totally unsympathetic to that, but stop it.
But you're close.
Stop it. All right.
It's kind of like Republicans telling Democrats how to run their primary.
Yep. Yep. Okay. All right. I'm going to try and stop my rant now. Anything else we want to talk about? Are we done with this after show? I think that was like plenty. What do you guys want to rant around? Pick something.
My only perspective on this home run versus triple thing that you've brought to the fore harks back to my grammar school days when we would play kickball.
Yeah.
And you could get a home run playing kickball. But the part of the game that differed from baseball, in addition to kicking a larger round rubber ball with your foot instead of using a bat on a smaller ball, was that throwing out the runner consisted of throwing the kickball after you've retrieved it at the runner.
Yes.
To put the runner out. You could bounce You could bounce the ball off the runner and put him out, or you could just, whatever, touch him with a whatever.
Right.
I think we should do that with baseballs.
With baseball. Okay.
If you can hit the runner, he's out, even if it is out of the park.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, symbolically, that's what happens.
I hope it does not come as a shock to you to understand I'm not taking this seriously.
Okay, see, so you're trying to like make an exception. You don't want to get the mail, but I'm going to get
some. It's Hodgson, Hodgson.
That's right. All right, end of after show.